Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Just real quick, we're going to go to the Bible. In case some of you don't understand this, this is, and let me explain this to you. If you understand what I'm going to say to you right now, ahead of you is a destiny of blessing. If you don't understand what I'm going to say to you in just a few moments, then I promise you more problems than you can ever imagine. This, here's what I'm going to say, is the inspired word of God. You can go on television and debate all these people who think they know about God and all that stuff. Doesn't do any good. I'd ask one question, do you believe in the Bible? If they say, well, you know, we don't believe in the Bible. A lot of men wrote the Bible and, you know, everybody has their opinion about stuff and they're not even the same person. No, the Bible refers to itself and has proven itself to be the inspired word of God. Yes, men wrote it, but they were inspired to write. Probably didn't know what they were saying and the depth of what they were saying until you and I get this. And it's such a blessing to have it. And if you live by this inspired word of God, because this is a love letter from God to you on how to live life here on the earth. And if you don't believe that, then what it'll do is you will go off looking everywhere else, trying to find yourself, trying to find life and how life works. And here it is found right here in the scripture. It tells you everything that you need to know. And so for me, I just settled the issue. God, you said it's inspired. I believe you that it's inspired. I'm not here to argue with anybody about it. There's no way you can argue with anybody that doesn't believe the Bible. Because here's what you're going to do as a Christian. Keep going back to the Bible, using that as a reference, and they're going to say, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, guess what? You can't help him, and I can't help him either. And they have a right not to believe the Bible. But in this church, man, we believe in what the Word of God has said. Now, here's what this old man is standing in front of you going to say to you so you understand this. The more you learn about God, God doesn't download like, you know, you get something and you download in your computer. God doesn't download into you information. You have to fight for it. You have to work for it. You have to think about it. You have to practice what you learn and make it a part of your life. It's not anything that you just get easy. Listen to what I'm going to say. One more thing. There is nothing you will ever do for God or yourself that you will not be under great pressure to try to stop you from accomplishing it. And the more you know about what the Bible says on how to deal with the pressures of life that come at you, the more you will find yourself being successful in every area of your life. When we look at the Bible and all the heroes of the Bible, as well as every person in the Bible, there is nobody, not one single person in the Bible, that ever just got by easy. Not one person, not David, we're going to talk about tonight, not Samuel, you'll not talk about, Elijah, Elisha, you won't talk about one single person, you won't talk about Joseph, you won't talk about one single person that didn't have trials, tribulations, and pressure in their life, trying to stop them from being what God wants them to be. And that's exactly what's ahead of you. Everything in this world system that we live in is going to come against you, trying to stop you from being the Christian that God wants you to be. Because when you're the Christian that God wants you to be, you're going to get blessed and people are going to want to know what you have and you're going to tell them about Jesus. So before he does that, he's got to do everything he can to stop you from being a Christian. But it starts with you believing whether this is inspired or not. Is anybody listening? So tonight, as we look at the Old Testament, and we'll stay in the Old Testament, it's amazing to me how many people don't understand that the Old Testament is physically speaking about spiritual insight in the New Testament. So when you see things going on like wars and people dying that are failing and people not making it and the things of the Old Testament that you see and hear, the pressures that were on Joseph, the pressures on Daniel, the pressures that you see in the life of David, they're there for a reason because it's expressing something to you about what's important in life. Why? Because if you know what's important, you'll do it. If you don't know what's important, you'll do what you think is important. And oftentimes what you think is important is not what God says is important. Are you listening? And you end up at the end of your life with nothing, failing in every area of your life, and then wonder, where's God? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God come through? It's because you didn't hear it and apply it in your life. And that's why we come together. This is a Bible study. And as we look at the Word of God, it's going to become truly alive with you. One of the things I want to make mention to you about David, as we look at the life of David, first of all, I fell in love with David. I just thought David was like coolest thing going, because David had so much to say about his life. He was so powerfully connected with God, but such a screw up also. And I don't know about you, but I felt like I was powerfully connected with God, but made a lot of mistakes. Anybody make a lot of mistakes besides me? And I could easily relate with David, because he was very human as well as he was very spiritual. And the interesting thing about David that a lot of people don't understand is there's a life of development of David's heart before he ever becomes the great king that's going to take care of and provide and become, listen to this, the greatest king Israel has ever known and ever had. It was David. He brought commerce in. He was so wise. He brought imports, exports in. Everybody, all the people literally prospered under his administration as king. He was the greatest king Israel has ever known. Are you hearing me? And that didn't just happen. It happened because God was given time to develop the heart. You know, when you become great at something, sometimes we have a tendency to start to look that we think we did it ourselves. And David wouldn't have been any different than that. You'll see that tonight. But God wouldn't allow him to start thinking of himself as great. God wanted to train his heart and develop his heart. And it's going to be absolutely wonderful as we look at stuff. Listen, in my Bible college class, it's an 8-hour class, 8 solid hours of teaching on David. I think everybody ought to be in Bible college that goes to this church. Here's the reason why. It's not about what you're going to do. You say, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to, you know, do that. It has nothing to do with it. It's about being on steroids when it comes to learning what the Word of God has to say. And you learn the Bible. And it's not about you being a pastor or anything like that. You don't learn the Bible to become get a job. You learn the Bible because you want to be a successful husband and a successful wife and raise your children the right way and start getting blessed in life instead of falling away in life. And everybody ought to be, I think everybody that goes to this church ought to be signing up for Bible college. Here's the reason why, because it'll teach you the Bible. And so we spend 8 hours in this. And can I just say something to you? I could spend 50 hours in it if I had the time, or 150 hours. I could teach you the rest of the year nonstop on this subject because it's so big and so vast. In order to understand this, I think it's really wonderful for us to look at the early life of David so we can appreciate what he went through in order to make him the man that God calls him. And David's early life really had two very important characters in it besides David. These two characters, you might want to write this down. One of them is a great prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel, I mean, let me tell you how great he is. How about this? He's so great, he's got 2 books named after him in the Bible. I mean, that's pretty good. Nobody mentions my name in the Bible, and nobody's mentioned your name in the Bible. So guess what? Here's 2 books about this guy, Samuel. He was obviously very connected with God. And the second person we're going to look at tonight also is a guy by the name of Saul, who becomes, if you will, the first king before David of Israel. And you need to see Saul because he's a unique character. How? In the development of the heart of David. God's out to do something. He's not out just to bless you. When people say God wants to bless you, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it doesn't come just because somebody waves a magic wand over your head. It comes because you are prepared and being able to handle the blessing. More people fail from having been blessed than the people who fail because of trouble and trials and pressures. And it's really a shame that we have never learned how to handle as Christians the blessings that God wants to give us. Therefore, God waits until we grow our hearts to the place where we can handle, here's a word for you, the capacity of his blessings. And without the capacity of his blessings, you will eventually run out of the things of God and start relying on the natural man, and therefore you become divorced from God and separate from God. And that's what we see in the life of David. Two great men that take care of him and provide for him is, one is Samuel, a great friend of his that comes along, who didn't even know David in the beginning. And then, if you will, the second one is Saul. We'll look at them, and then we'll look quickly at the life of David, just kind of scratching the surface of his early days, even before he goes before the great, you know, battle of Goliath. But let's just take a look at some things that we can see. David is one of eight children, which is in itself fascinating. He was the youngest of the eight children, and nobody knew who he was. Samuel did not know who he was. You know, Saul did not know who he was. The people of Israel did not know who David was. He was simply, if you will, a shepherd boy on the hills of Judea. The hills of Judea are right outside of Jerusalem. And when you had sheep grazing on the hills that are rolling round hills outside of Jerusalem, and when you had sheep grazing on those hills, wow, you were a very wealthy person, because it was close to the market where your sheep went, and you sold your sheep at a premium price. And David's father had those sheep, and David, being the lowest and the youngest of the family and the smallest of the family, was the one who was the sheep herder. The rest of the brothers were big and strong and handsome and tall and successful, and they were warriors, and they were all the perfect kind of a man, where David wasn't quite that way at all. And so David, one of eight, if you will, that nobody knew who he was. Now, why is that important? Because nobody knows who you are. And if God can use you, or David, he can use you. Do you understand? Here's what you have to realize, that David was brought from the sheepfold and to become the king. And literally in an overnight situation, I use this term in my Bible college, so I'll use it now. He really became, in one day, the rock star of Israel, where nobody knew him. Nobody had any idea who he was. And in one day, suddenly, bang, God makes him the rock star, where everybody's singing songs about him, and everybody's praising his name, and everybody thinks he's wonderful, and everybody that thinks he's wonderful is saying, who's he? But I'll sing anyway. And God takes him, and here's my point. My point is, you're sitting there tonight, and you're saying to yourself, nobody knows who I am. I'm a nobody. I don't think God could ever use me, because I've just screwed up too many times in my life, and I've probably failed at this. Or how about this? Some of us older people, we're too old, or we're too dumb, or we're not properly educated, or we don't have the right job, or we didn't come from the right set of tracks, from, you know, we're on the wrong side of the tracks, and are we don't, you know, we don't live in those neighborhoods. We never had opportunity. And you sit there and you think, listen to this, that you can never really, really, really of any significance ever be used by God. Could be the dumbest thing that we all think about ourselves, because God takes those things that are absolutely the dumbest and the silliest and the weakest to confound the wise of this world. And here he is spotting David on the hills, but more than just spotting David, he sought David out and heard him and saw what's important on the inside of David, which, by the way, you have on the inside of you. It just has not been cultivated yet. The world has pushed you down. The negative has pushed you down. I don't know if anybody has X's in here. The X's has pushed you down, that you could never be anything. But I'm here to tell you something right now. With God, all things are possible. And the Bible says all things are possible to him who does something simple, believes. And that's what we're here today to look at, is the great belief system that takes place. Let me show you how deep the Word of God is. In the life of Samuel, as great as a plant, we'll do Samuel first, this great prophet who didn't know who David was at the time of any of this. This great prophet was well known throughout the land as a great prophet. Everywhere he went, he brought terror. People were afraid of the prophets in those days because they'd prophesy something. If they prophesied what was wrong, oh my goodness. In fact, people would run up them as they went into the city and they'd say, are you going to tell us something good? Are you going to tell us something bad? I mean, this was the Word of God. They didn't have a Bible in their lap like you have. They didn't have thousands of years of experience with God written down through inspiration of men. No, they didn't have any of that. You know what they had? They had the prophet that's walking in. Most of them never even read. Most of them had no teeth in their mouth. Most of them worked the ground and labored. Most of them hadn't taken a bath in a month. Most of them had one set of clothes, ate very little. All of this was taking place. They had absolutely nothing. They were in great poverty. And when the prophet came, oh my goodness, he was fearful. People were afraid of him because things were already bad. Will you say something worse today? How can we handle it? What does that mean? That means as bad as things may be in your life today, it was just as bad for them in those days. And that's where this is going to be, because everything is going to be bad until you start operating in the Word of God. Everything is going to fall away. Everything is going to fail. Everything is going to frustrate you. Everything attack is going to come your way until you start operating in the Word of God. That's what God's trying to get us to say. And you find that here's Samuel, as great as he is, as he hears the voices of the Lord, as he prophesies to Israel, as he brings forth this phenomenal information to change people's lives, here's Samuel making a mistake. And that one of the saddest chapters in the Bible is found in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. And this is where Israel rejects God. And you see Samuel open the door for that to happen. You say, well, how did that happen? What mistake did Samuel make? If you will, go with me to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, verse number 1, and let's look at it together. If you got your Bibles, you should be pin out, ready to circle some things, because it's really fascinating. In verse number 1, and it came to pass that when Samuel was old, I hate the word old. So that meant probably when Samuel was younger than me. When he was old, that he made his sons judges over his. Let's just stop right there. I mean, we could go on for an hour just on these two words. He made. His mistake was, you can't make leaders and spiritual leaders by what you decide and what you want. And it clearly makes a statement that he took his sons and he made them he, not God. And when you leave God out of your decision-making process, you are now on the road to destruction and the road of failure. And it won't be long before you're totally frustrated saying, God, why did this happen? His sons were reprobates, and yet he still put them in. Well, a number of years ago when God told me to retire, I didn't retire because I wanted to retire, neither did Debbie. God said, if you love the people, you'll get out. God talks to me that way. I mean, I have to know, because it's almost like he's rude, but he says, you'll get out of the way. Let this next generation come forth. I had two phenomenal ministers at this church, Pastor Dan and Pastor Luke. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Luke is my only son. And he had all of his life been brought up in this church, and all of his life always thought about his job was going to be taking Dad's place at the church, being the pastor. He even says it himself, he was the next Joel Osteen. John had passed on, and Joel Osteen is coming up, and he's one of the most popular ministers in America, and Luke was trained and geared for that. Luke, first thing out of high school, he was one of the youngest people in Bible college. He was one day old. They would pass, he couldn't get in unless you were one. His birthday was on the last day, one day before he could get in. He was like one of the youngest that ever went to this Bible college. Finished a couple of years back east in Bible college. Then comes out here and goes to Cal Baptist University. So he's brought up in a charismatic church, goes to a Pentecostal Bible college, ends up at a Baptist college. He said, Dad, I'm so confused, I'm totally screwed up. He says, they ought to give me 2 degrees, one for going there and one to stay in there. And so he's there and he's getting this different theology from different areas, you know, and it was a very difficult time for him. But when Luke, if you remember Luke, and you'll see him next this month, at the end of the month, he'll be here on Wednesday night. And if you see him, this guy can carry the mail of God. He is so anointed by the Lord, it's just bizarre. He is everything I ever wanted in a son, to be honest with you. I am so incredibly proud of Luke. And since he was 15, he stood here when this construction started in this building. He stood when we broke ground. I have pictures of it with Luke standing there. And he said, there'll be a day when I'm sitting in that seat where my father is. But the day came when after months and months of arguing with God and talking with God, God said something to me. He said, are you going to do what Samuel did? Are you going to make your son the pastor of the church? I said, God, what's wrong? He said, nothing's wrong with him. He'd make a great pastor. But I have a different course for him. I have a different place for him. I have a different plan for him than yours or his. And I want you to bring Pastor Dan on as your senior pastor. And I brought Pastor Dan on. I've never regretted it because God spoke to me. I've never regretted it because he is phenomenal. I've never regretted it because he's better than I will ever be. And yet he is amazing. And my son Luke is amazing too. But you know why I gave it time? Because of those two words, he made. Those two words, I've taught Bible college this subject. My subject is cardiology, which is the heart, 101. It's all about the heart of David. And I've taught it for 21 years in Bible college. I have seen those words he made from Samuel for 21 years. I wasn't about to make that mistake like Samuel made. Let's read on if you can. Let's take a look. The next verse we're looking at is verse number 3. Let's just jump down instead of getting all the names done. But in verse number 3, it says these words. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. In other words, you could pay them off. Money was more important to his boys than God. And you can be in this position as a leader, but when money becomes more important than God, you got a problem. And that's exactly where the problem, the root of that problem came from. Right there, their sons weren't there. And he says, they're not like you. That's what Israel is saying. And verse number 5, it says, and he said to him, look, you are old, the people of Israel are saying to him, and your sons don't walk like you walk. So make us a king to judge over us like all the other nations. And all of a sudden, here's the sad, incredibly horrible words. Make us a king to judge us. It had to break the heart of God because up until this time, the leader of Israel was God. He ruled over Israel through the prophets and spoke to the people through the word of God from the prophets. He directed them. He protected them. He fought for them. He brought them up. He developed them. He encouraged them. He was there to provide for them. And all of a sudden, now they say, we don't want God. And we don't want the prophets. What we want is to have a king like all the other nations. And we could stop there and spend an hour or two on how we make decisions in life based on what we think instead of what God thinks. What other people are doing. You know, my kids, when they were little, they would say, how come we can't do that? Their parents let them do that. I said, that's because I'm not their parent. You know, and we can't live our life based on what other people do. One of the worst things you could do is base your life on what other people do. What you want to do is build your life on what God wants you to do. Is anybody listening? And here you see this taking place where it just breaks the heart of the prophet Samuel, but it also breaks the heart of God. It's really a shame. Verse number 7 says, and the Lord said to Samuel, so here's God speaking now to Samuel. And he says these words, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they do not reject you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Man, what a statement. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected, I could spend an hour just on this subject, just for you, and how people will come against you, but they're not coming against you. They're really coming against God. They just don't know that it's God that you represent. And you'll find oftentimes that people are swayed and that they find themselves rejecting God, but blaming it on man. And here's Samuel, he's depressed, he's discouraged, he's literally frustrated. And he says these words, he says, man, they have not rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me. That has to be the saddest time. Listen, there is no hope for a people who reject the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's no hope. I don't care what society says. I don't care what science says. I don't care what social systems say. I don't give a flip about any of that stuff. Let me tell you something. You are here because of who God is. And what God's plans are, what God's will is, and what God's destiny, and what God's purpose is. And if we kick God out and start planning ourselves, we will fail. Mark my words, you will fail. In every area of your life, instead of being blessed, you will fail. And we see that Samuel was one who has made these mistakes, just horrible mistakes, without realizing it. And now he's very discouraged, but he gets the assignment, if you will, to follow up on finding, if you will, a king for Israel. Chapter 9, we find, it brings into the picture the second person that we're going to talk about tonight. His name is Saul, King Saul. First king, he's not a king when he's introduced to you. It's kind of fun. But let me read to you about Saul just for a moment, because he was an amazing person. And he was selected not because he was spiritual. He was selected because he had the looks. He looked the part. Did you know most people don't do anything for God because they don't feel like they look the part? They don't look the right way. They don't talk the right way. They don't dress the right way. Surely you have to be this kind of a person to do anything for God. And I don't fit that pattern. And here God is making a statement that God says, we'll select this King Saul. And it's based, if you will, on verse number 2. And he had chosen, listen to this, his father, who was a tremendous and wealthy man, Kish was his name. And his father had a son. And that's what he's starting to talk in verse number 2. He had a choice and handsome son. Listen to me. Stop just for a second. How many of you realize when the Bible says he had a choice and handsome son, he was a choice and handsome son. I mean, he was a knockout. This guy fit the bill. He looked the part. He's exactly what Israel is going to accept, exactly what Israel wants. Man, he looks the part. Handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was no more handsome. How many realize that when God says he's the most handsome, nobody else is as handsome as him? This guy is like movie star. Does everybody believe that, right? He's like the movie star of the day. Watch this. There is no more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he is taller than any of the other people. So he's a head taller than everybody else. And guys, what they wanted was a big, handsome king. That they will settle for. instead of looking at the inside of the person, which God simply does. Let me just speed up the time. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures. It's really fascinating. Saul is a very respectful young man. He's really, as a young man, king, this Saul guy, before he's king, was really a good guy. He respected and honored his father. He respected and honored ministers. He respected and honored people. He saw himself as very humble. But what had happened is that as he was being led by God, he started prospering. Let me say it again. And this is what will happen with you. As you are being led by God, you will start to prosper in every area of his life. And when he started to prosper, his head got bigger. And he thought he was doing it all. And instead of being a blessing, he became something that was a reprobate to God. When God told him to do something, he did it his way, not God's way. When God spoke to him about what to do and how to do it, he did what he wanted to do and how he wanted to fulfill it, not what God told him to do. And constantly abrasive to the ways of God and making excuses for it. And at first, he was warned by Samuel, and second, warned by Samuel, third, warned by Samuel, but he kept doing his own thing. And God comes along and makes a statement that gives us great insight into the failure of Saul. Why is that important? Why do I need to know why? Because the Old Testament is telling me about spiritual principles in the New Testament. So me knowing how Saul failed when he started to become successful is exactly what could happen to you, exactly what could happen to me. That we get our eyes off of God and we get our eyes on our own ability, our own how cool we are, and whether or not we fit in. Is anybody listening? And what happens when you get your eyes off God, you start doing things your way and you fail. Is anybody listening? And that's what we see all the time in scripture, but we see it really clear in the life of Saul. Saul was a pretty good guy. And then he makes all the mistakes following himself instead of God, and it really turns out to be a horrific experience. So let me take you, if I may, into 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, verse number 7. Now listen to this. And the prophet Samuel is talking to him, and he says in verse number 17, "So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes." Let me say it again. When you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, when you didn't think of yourself as so great, when you didn't think of yourself as so powerful, when you didn't have people waiting on you, when you didn't have the king's food, the king's wine, when you didn't speak and all of a sudden everything comes to you and all of a sudden everything is wonderful, but when you were small, when you saw yourself as being very small, he makes this statement, were you not head of a tribe of Israel? No, he wasn't. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When? When he was humble before the Lord. But when he started to think of himself differently, man, and he stopped listening to what he should have been listening to, which was God. The principle here is for every one of us in here, you will have things come at you from time to time telling you to get off the track of God, get on a different track, doing your own thing instead of what God wants you to do, and you end up failing. And that's what the scripture is telling us about tonight. In verse number 15, verse number 24, and Saul said to Samuel, here's Saul now talking back to the prophet. He says, I have sinned. He's admitting it. For I have transgressed against the commandments of the Lord, he's minister, and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Pastor Dan, when you fear the people and obey your voice instead of the voice of the Lord, this ministry is over with. You just might as well know that. The same with Luke, the same with Deborah, the same with Pastor Jessica, whatever it is, every one of you ministers that are in here, when you fear the voice of a man more than the voice of God, your ministry is over with. Is anybody listening? And that's exactly what happened in the life of Saul. is that he loved the adulation of the people. He loved the fact that they praised him. They sang songs about him. They thought he was wonderful. They cooked special meals for him. They waited on him hand and foot. Man, they provided anything and everything they could to be a blessing to their king. They didn't to God, but they did to this man. And it blew up his head to the place where he loved the people, that he wanted to respect them so much that when they spoke, he did what the people said instead of what God said. It's like I was listening to an Academy Award. I don't watch Academy Awards anymore. But years ago, I was watching Academy Awards. I think they're just a bunch of fake phonies. And they were coming up to the stage, and everybody was applauding this one actress. And she grabbed her, you know, her Academy Award that she had just won. And she's throwing kisses to the audience. And here's 10,000 people in the audience. And she says, "I just love you. I just love you. I just love you." Say, what's wrong with that? Let me tell you something. She doesn't even know him. She doesn't love him. She didn't lay their life down for him. Had nothing to do with love for those people. She loved the praise of the people. And therefore, whatever the people say is what she would end up doing. And the same exact thing in ministry, the same exact thing in any great church. Every church needs to understand, because I feared the voice. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that if you fear God, you shouldn't even be in ministry. I'm sorry, if you fear man, you shouldn't even be in ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
Shouldn't even be in ministry. Listen, there are so many things that I stuck to, that I had to, that drove the people out. Did they ever come back? No. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. Here's the reason why. You want to leave, leave. But I'm going to stand for me and my God. This is what he says, and I'm not moving. And whether you like it or not, too bad. I love you. I care about you. I'll fight for you. I'll pray for you. I'll believe God for you, and I'll tell you the truth, and I won't play games with you, but I will not do what you want. I will do what he wants. And I'll not pastor a church. I said this when I was young. Man, I remember Debbie and I had a church of like 125 people. One day I got up and they weren't worshiping God. I said, "Hey, listen, everybody stand up. Turn the music off. Get out." And they all stood and stared at me. You remember that? It was a horrible day. I don't, "Get out." They all stood and stared at me. I said, what do we do? I said, "You're going to stand there and worship God, not singing, not clapping, not even doing anything. You just come in here and stare." I said, "If you can't worship God in the house of God, I don't want to pastor you. So get out." All week long, I'm freaking out. God, how are we going to pay the bills next week? I got all kinds of leases. I got all kinds of problems. There's gas bills coming in for the building. There's electric bills. And I'm going, "Oh no, what did I do?" Debbie's looking at me like, "Man, I don't know about you. What did you do?" But next week, there were twice as many people in church. Because people want to hear the truth. Listen to me. Can I just say it in San Bernardino language? Cut the bull. Tell me like it is, at what God wants from me. I don't want anybody to throw smoke and incense on me. I want you to tell me what the Bible says. And then how to do it. Is anybody listening? And listen, the Bible will rub you the wrong way. It's like sandpaper will rub off all the rough edges. You might as well understand that. If you're going to a church that's tickling your ear and making you feel good, then somebody needs to slap you. You're in the wrong place. Because this word of God says, man, it's all Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Come on, somebody. I can go on forever. Is anybody listening? And now, we find that we have a problem. We have a king named Saul who's doing the wrong things. And we find that Samuel has to go find the right ones. And here's where David comes on the scene. Let me finish quickly. David comes on the scene and he says these things before anybody. And this is the most amazing verse I think I've ever read in my life, one of the most amazing verses. He's chosen by God. He's chosen by God, David, because he's a special person that has a special characteristic, by the way, that's inside of you, or you wouldn't be here tonight putting up with this grumpy old man. And the same quality that's in David is in you. It just needs to be cultivated and come out. And this verse blew me away. Now, as I read the verse, let me set you up for the verse. Nobody's ever spoken the name of David. Nobody. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody. Saul, the king, doesn't know who he is. Nobody. Samuel, the prophet, doesn't know who he is. But Samuel goes to Saul and he makes a statement to Saul about his kingdom, Saul's kingdom, and how it's going to stop. Won't continue. And he makes the statement by telling everybody chapters before David ever shows up on the scene. It says this. But now your kingdom, he says to him. Boy, you guys in the back room, you need to watch your coloring stuff, because these dark colors like this, with a dark background, with the greens and all that stuff, are really hard to read. And I'm going to have the people read it, then look really cool, okay? So let's watch that, because you got green backgrounds, really hard to see, especially those of you that are in the back. I noticed that this morning too. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself. Here's God out looking for somebody. Don't think for a moment that right now in this house, God is looking for somebody. And you may think, oh, it's not me. Well, why not? You're going to listen to that stuff, or are you going to listen to the word of God? He says, listen to this. He says he sought for himself. And then he makes a statement what kind of a man he's looking for. A man after, notice the capital H in the word his own heart. A man after his, God's, own heart. What does that mean? David is chasing after God? No. Here's what it means. And David is referred to numerous times as a man after God's own heart. Did you know that same quality is inside of you, or you wouldn't be here today? You just maybe need to cultivate it. You need to bring it out more. You need to get more into this than before. But listen to this, it's still that quality. God's still seeking people that have a heart after his. In other words, David said, it's not about me, it's about you. I want your heart for the people. I want your heart for these sheep. I want your heart for relationships. I want your heart in praise. I want your heart, God. I don't want what I feel. I don't want what I think. I don't want what my dad taught me. I don't want what my brothers think. I want, God, what you think, what you feel, what you want. And he is a man, and God saw that, bang! And you see David now coming forward like never before. A man who saw. Now listen to this. And he says, and this is the part that blew me away. He says, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people, because you have not kept the Lord commanded you, what the Lord commanded you. Saul, you failed. Now God says, and I love this, the Lord commanded him to be. David doesn't even know it. He has no idea that God has already set in motion his future. Most of you are sitting there today thinking, oh, what my future is, whatever happens, happens. You know, but it could be that God right now today is setting in motion what your future is if you'll just simply have a heart after God like David had. Just simply want what he wants. Simply desire and do what he wants you to do. My goodness sakes alive, just that simple. God has a plan. God has a future. And he doesn't command it when it's time to do it. He commands it long before it's ever time. So everything else has to fall into place in order for David, who nobody knows, to become this rock star one day in Israel. It's like amazing to me. Same thing happens to people that realize the importance of what's being said just in what we talked about tonight. You know, you can come along and do church. There's a difference between somebody who's converted to believe that there's a God and someone who's a disciple of God. There's a lot of believers in the days of Jesus, but there's only a handful of disciples that learned and followed the things of God. There's a big difference. American churches today, that make it easy for you to come in, have one church service a week, and then leave and get a cup of coffee and say hello to somebody on your way out. I'll see you next week. Comfort, tickling the ears. My goodness sakes alive. Then somebody who'll stand and tell you, listen, you have inside of you a quality. You may not know it, and you probably don't believe it. But if you'll cultivate the quality of putting God first in every area of your life, God will speak over you a future that's beyond your imagination. David had no idea that he was going to become king over Israel. And you find him being selected. It's amazing. Gosh, I have literally run out of time. I can't go any further. If I keep going, it's going to be crazy. So, Antonio, stand up. That's Antonio. He's in charge of this service. He's the one who invites me to come to his service. So if you want me to come back and finish some of this, bug him. Because even the next things I have to say are so deep and so wonderful that it's just amazing. I just can't go any further. We're out of time. I want to be like Paul Ogando who finished at 8 o'clock. What the heck is that? Gosh. My goodness. Two times he preaches in a row, we're out of here in 20 minutes. And he's good, too. I love you guys a lot. God is good. So, sorry, I'm just intense about this subject. But it's such a good subject. It's such a great subject for the development, not of just David's heart, of my heart, Pastor Dan's heart, Pastor Jess's heart, Pastor Deborah's heart, who's definitely, after you heard her this morning, beyond any help. No, I'm kidding. You didn't hear her this morning. She was a pistol, man. And I want you to know something. God wants to develop your heart, wants to use you, wants to prosper you, wants to take care of you, wants to provide for you, wants to open doors. I didn't say you wouldn't have a fight, but you'll know how to do the fight because you're following him. Is anybody listening? Come on.
So. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.